Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this hour of time. Lord, as we come together, Lord, one way or another, how well we could gather, the best we could as a people of God, in little, small little few groups here and there. We ask for your grace, that you bless and open our hearts, O Lord and mind, to thy word. And as I preach thy word today, this morning, touching on a very sensitive subject in life, something that have been taught, perhaps, Lord, the mind doesn't receive it well or does not retain in our heart, in our life. I pray that, Lord, you will open out our hearts and our mind, Father, to thy word again. And to digest it, Father. And in this hour that we live in, especially, Lord, our faith, that we should grow in it and not backsliding because of what is happening now in the world. We ask you, Father, Lord, to be present in our midst, here and everywhere, and as everyone gathered, whether they are singling over there, Lord, or in a small group, even in other countries, Lord, as those that will come on this live streaming, and asking for your grace, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I can no longer preach the way I preached some 30, 40 years ago. As one sister told me, Bergen, you don't preach the way you preach before. There was maybe 10 years ago, he told me that you don't preach the way you used to preach. I said, the ministry does not go on the way that we think we shall continue to go on. Every great preacher of God, every preacher of God who are called into the ministry when they preach, they have a certain style of preaching, and when it comes, as the year passes by, as the body grows old, the approach to thy word, to the word of God, to the way how men minister the word will somehow or another take a different approach. So, for me, my ministry has always been to teach the word of God, to lay the foundation, or to put back what is already missing, you know, taken away by the Antichrist from the beginning of the church age. After it, the apostle Paul passed away, that spirit of the Antichrist came in and, you know, slowly removed the apostolic foundational stone and replaced it with all that man-made doctrine and catechisms and traditions and dogmas and creeds. And so my ministry is such that I need to put back what the Lord wants me to put back and to speak the truth the best I know how to speak the truth. In my faith in the Word of God, or my faith of God, is not according to the Word of the Lord, then I have failed the Lord, I have just failed, that is to say. And that's why the ministry that I have been all this year reaching out from Singapore here all to the other parts of the world as well, I know that it has been a blessing to many people. I had a whole bunch of email and text messages and slow mail even in the past when there were no email. I really treasure those, you know, blessings from those that said they are blessed And I also have brickbats from those who disagree with the ministry. And I have intention of scanning all those letters, a slow mail, of some who think that they know better and giving their own understanding about the Word of God. And I want to put it out for everybody else to see how foolish things are among these people, back in those years and even in this present times. So I will not be shouting, and I look, you know, sometimes I look back into my old video back 20, 30 years ago, and I find myself, you know, hammering out and shouting out, preaching like a Pentecostal. But you will not be able to see much of me doing that anymore, perhaps, but once in a while I will raise my voice, but I try to keep my voice. Alright, so let's look into the Bible now. I'm going to go slow, as I said. I don't know, this message that I'm preaching about has stretched to two or three Sunday, but I'm going to slow. And I've entitled the message, Deep in the Mind. I preached this message years ago, but in a different way. So when I look back and I look through my old notes, and I realize how important it is, because at this junction of time that we're living in, this, well, the whole world is brought to a halt, more or less, or to a snail-paced life because of the pandemic. And when I look back, you know, to all those years, I realized I've been trying to get across to the believers, not only just here in Singapore or in Asia, but in Europe and Africa, concerning the mind, how we approach the Word of God. And what is your mind like when you stand in the presence of the Lord, or when you examine yourself and where you really stand? You know, I hate hearing a message where the preacher come out and take a verse or two and then just preach a message to make everybody happy. A feel-good message, that sort of thing. But sometimes I look back and know I'm very harsh with people. I'm very strict and just preach out the word. Well, lots of people don't like it one way or another, but the fact is, truth is truth. You know, when I look at Paul said this. He said, when we are gathered together, not just about the communion, foot washing, he said, when we get together, what's the purpose of getting ourselves together? Is to feast upon the Word of God. Amen. And Paul said, when we come together, we are gathered here to be judged by the Word. We're not here to have a good time.
Amen.
To have a feel good thing, you know, I'm a Christian, or the preacher said this, and how wonderful God is, love, God is grace, God is full of mercy, God is the healer, and all these wonderful things about God being good, good, good. But they have very few ever preached that God is a terrible God. Because God is a terrible God, the God of ours. Because the one thing he must remember, he hates sin. And that's why when you come to sin, he will judge. And he expects God expects his people to grow up, not be being pampered like babies or young little kids, you know. Yeah, because when I always think about that, how being that I was a father once, now that I'm a grandfather, and I, you know, go out with my grandson Adam, when he's misbehaved, you know that he's young. I know that he's young and he's in this age, he's prayerful, but sometimes I'll be firm with him, because being prayerful, he can get out of control and do crazy things, you know, and being disobedient. So if I'm not firm with him, then I'm going to be a grandfather to him. I will be like a maid to him, because to him, therefore, he is not my son, not my grandson. I'm just a maid. I'm a servant to take care of him. I said, who cares? Because he's not my grandson. He's not my son. Now, that would be a very bad attitude. Because God loves us, and that's the way he's going to deal with us. Paul said, we are gathered to him, not for the better, but for the worse. Amen? Let us go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 21. Zohar, can you read it? Read it out loud.
To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne.
Amen. So, this is just a text to let us remember. It is all about being overcomers. Every one of us have to overcome. But in the Christian world today, you know, a lot of Christians, they are not really overcoming. You remember some years back, I introduced to you a song, or the words that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know? And that is very true. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, they go to church and they say, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I believe Jesus as my Savior and all these things. But many are not overcoming. You see, many times we don't look at other parts of the Bible. We're only interested in one verse in the whole of the Bible, and that is John 3:16. How did God love the world and he gave his only begotten Son? That whosoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life. They focus on this. You see? I remember one time back years ago when I was probably you all remember I was called to conduct a funeral service for a friend of Brother James Nyan. And I asked him, I said, you sure that he is a Christian? He said, yeah, on the deathbed, he's dying. He said, he believed. I said, how do you know he believed? He said, I was there. I think he said he was there, and he signaled his hand or something like that. And he said, he accepted on his deathbed. So, okay, for the benefit of the doubt, I conduct the funeral service. You see, it is not like the thief hanging on the cross who is still very much alive, who confessed with his mouth. But someone who is on a deathbed, terminal, he can't talk nothing. You can say anything to him, his hand can move, doesn't mean anything. You see. So, many people go to heaven, but they don't die. Only when they die, they want to go to heaven. And at the very last minute. But this is not a Christian life. You see. The dying thief on the cross is able to confess right then and there. He knows that he's dying. And everything he heard about Jesus. And here the other, you know, thief on the other side was just making fun of Christ, and the people that's below the crosses, they are all making fun of Christ too. And you know, here he is hanging on the cross, he's dying, and know that he was a wicked man. And this person whom you have heard of, and now he's hanging alongside with him, and he's convicted that he had done bad thing, and he was an innocent man. And you know, in that moment, of course, he came to the realization that he needed a Savior. But there are many, many, they're on the deathbed, last minute they say, yeah, I believe. I have even known of people who were dying, and then you have all the different religious people that came to the bit, you know, or say the mantra, say some kind of script, some kind of, you know, religious script, and then the Krishna come along and say, no, you claim John 3:16, you will be saved. So you have different friends of different religious background coming to this dying person, and so he says, yeah, I believe, because he's dying. Why have he has nothing to lose. If you tell him that this is the way to have eternal life, to enter heaven, he says, oh, I believe. Another one comes and this is their way to go, he will believe. So, but the Bible tells us here that even especially when we are Christian, we need to overcome. To him the overcometh. To him the overcometh. Throughout the seven church ages, every age, there is always this admonition. To him that overcome. To him, to the individual. To him, to her, the overcomer. So, if we don't overcome, here you say, you will sit down with me, sit down with my father in his throne. I mean, to him the overcomer, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am sat down with my father in his throne. Christ overcame and sat down with his father in his throne. So Christ said, if you overcome, then you sit with me in my throne. If you don't overcome, it's an obvious fact, you can't sit with him. But I believe in him. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. So why am I not able to sit with him? People don't look down at all these other parts of the scripture because they always take the word of John 3:16. Whosoever believes in him will not perish by eternal life. The word believe here is so misunderstood. The word believe, the Greek word is pistev. It always means a total rely and trust on him. You have to, but I rely on him. I'm going to heaven. I rely on him as my Savior. You rely on him as your Savior, but he said, overcome. But I can overcome. But he said, overcome. But I can overcome. And that's where the problem is. If the Bible said that Christ can overcome, and he went through all this hard, it's not a short journey. It's a long journey of persecution and ridicule. To be identified with you and me in this human flesh. Just then. And in the last week of his journey, that was the most difficult time. So much so that he had to go into Gethsemane. And there, he prayed for strength. And praying for strength, you know, not just one time. I don't know how long he prayed. Not just say, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. That's it, and then come out. No. You know, just a 5-minute prayer. Because by the time he got up, he went to see the disciples, they're all sleeping, right? He prayed 3 times. This is a hard journey. So let us remember this. Because we're going to approach this thing about deep in the mind, your mind. So let us go to the book of Psalms chapter 42, verse 7. You know, this verse is an interesting verse that people took, every one of us practically. We take this verse, only the first part of the verse. And we have been taught, because it has been taken out of this context, you know, to present something beautiful. And that's why I do not want to entitle my message Deep Color to the Deep. Because I'm dealing with the mind, deep in the mind. You see, Brother Branham preached a message called Deep Color to the Deep. You all have read of it, I believe. And even the denomination picked this verse. You know, Brother Branham talked about using this title, the Deep Color Theory, talking about before there was a fish, there is always the water. You see, there's the Deep Color to the Deep. And there was this boy who was chewing on the reason. The eraser at the tip of the, you know, at the end of his pencil, because there was some sulfur there, because he found he needs the sulfur, and so that's why there is a deep calling to the deep. And that's how the phrase has been used. But let us examine this part here. I want to go through, as I said, this, because I think there's a lot of things to cover, so I'm not in a hurry. I could finish it in 1 hour if I want to, just to rush through, but I don't want to. I want to analyze. I want to make your mind to understand the deep things of the Lord. Okay, look at these Psalms here. 42 and verse 7. Deep colored unto the deep, at the noise of thy water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Then the next verse says this: yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the Lord of my life. Now, here we have this verse. It is this song here, this song of David. And let me ask you something about David. Interesting part here. We're going to talk about David. Well, we all know David anyway, so, but how many David are there in the Bible? You will say one, but there are two Davids. Now, this David, or you can call him Graceless David. Okay? You know why I use the word graceless David. But there's another David. Both of them were Bethlehemites. You know, this David here, he is a son of who? Who's his father? Jesse. Jesse was a Bethlehemite. They're all from that town of Bethlehem. So the other David was also born in Bethlehem. And that is David the Great, King of Kings. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Okay, because the Christ is that prophesied of the tribe of Judah, the lion, who will sit on that throne of David. He was the one that God promised when he made covenant with Abraham about the promised seed was that seed. So now here was this David here. You know, he's graceless actually because of what he did. You know, coveting Bathsheba and connive to get her husband to go to the front line, the fifth battle, so that he know that he will be killed, so that he could have her. But David was a man after God's own heart. The apple of God's eye was saying, but and he was a person who is quick to recognize the wickedness that he had done, the sin that he had committed. When it was pointed out to him, he did not hesitate. He did not make any excuse. And even know how God dealt with him to take away his son. And he was praying, crying for days, and he realized that there's nothing he can do to bring back that child. That's why he said, He cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. He recognized how God was dealing with him. His mind came to that realization. Because you see, our relationship as a child of God is with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here now, here is the psalm of written by David, his intense, his deep longing for God. And I pray that you and me would have the same desire. The intense longing for God. Every time you make a mistake and you cry, Lord, I'm really sorry, forgive me, Lord. And seek to overcome. Not let just life pass by. Because he that overcome, Christ will grant seated him in his throne. Remember that. So here he was. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy water spout. All thy waves and thy bellows are gone over me. What is he talking about here? Deep call unto the deep is not that, oh yeah, I'm a fish, I long for water to swim in. I thirst, therefore I long for water. The deep is within me that is thirst, long for quenching. That's not what it says here. But that has been taken out of this context of what was written here. Deep call to the deep, wave after wave, bellows after bellows overwhelm me. God is punishing. God is dealing. Deep call to the deep, more to come, more to come. At the noise of the water spout, your waterfall, the wave of the ocean, whatever that is sweeping over me, as they say here. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet, Yahweh will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the Lord of my life. Yet he will be there to come here, to give me the strength. In the daytime, truly, his loving kindness come upon me. At night, there will be a song that can put me to sleep and rest in him. No matter what, you see, sometimes when God deals with us, he allows wave after wave to call upon the deep, call to the deep to come, and all this will overwhelm us. And in it, it causes us to thirst for him. You know, sometimes when we have everything in life fine and dandy, you know, we have good job, we've got everything that we need in this life, it seems that, well, we are blessed of God. And that seems to be the message preached by charismatic preachers. It's all about the blessings of the Lord. It's all about God wants you to have a prosperous life. You know, the Bible said that God gives us abundant life. Life more abundantly. It's not abundant life doesn't mean plenty of riches. No. Abundant life means abundant spiritual life in Christ. A life that is real with him. It's not about money.
Amen.
The poor who love the Lord, they can have abundant life. But the rich people who say they love the Lord and because they are rich, they think they are very full of abundant life. You know, sometimes I was thinking, with all the money people have in the bank, (clears What are they going to do with it? Yeah, when they are young, perhaps, when they are 30 years old, perhaps they earn a lot of money. Maybe like some young people who are, you know, very astute in their approach of how to deal with their career, how to reach out to people, buying, selling, trading. And within a year or two, they are millionaires. Sure, when they are young, they are so happy with that money. So by the time, in 5 years, 10 years down the road, they are multi-millionaire. Yeah, they buy fantastic cars. That's probably useless on the old Singapore road. They could travel often, enjoy life. But yet, as they grow old, by the time they're my age, perhaps 70 plus, they look at their bank account, several millions of dollars, 10 million, 20 million, whatever. What are you going to do with it when you die? I wonder even with my small amount that's in my bank, I say, what am I going to do with this money when I die? Huh? Yet, the rich are making more money today. The rich get richer and the poor gets poorer. In a world that is not equal. So, when you talk about abundant life, it's about your life in Christ. It's about your spiritual life in the Lord. It is not about this physical life at all. Now, let us go to Psalms 51. Here, maybe I get someone to read this whole of Psalms. But I'm not going through all this of Psalms, but there's something I want to pick up. Alright? Zohar, can you read this Psalms 51 all the way through? Read aloud and clear.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and behold, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, for O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. When thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, and with burnt offering, and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar.
Alright. Here is David's psalm. I mean, this man can really write songs. You know, because of his relationship with God, all the psalms that he wrote deals with spiritual things. Deal with his relation between him and God, and the sin that he had committed, he openly confessed to the Lord in psalms. And that's why he is a man after God's own heart. And I think that we also learn from him and see the kind of person he really was. And you know, when he reminds the way that David portrayed himself as a sinner who is full of contrite spirit, it reflects the anti-type of Christ, you know, who is sinless, who came and took all the sins upon himself. You know, when he took the sin upon himself, God looked at that sin. How do you think God feel? That, like David, the sin he committed when he stand before God, how do you think God feel about the sin that he had? You see. So, look at this chapter here. There is this portion that I want to pick up. Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part would thou make me to know wisdom. Thou desire truth in the inward parts, that deep in you, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know knowledge. The hidden part. But let's just jump to another verse I want to bring up first before I go back to that one. Here we have verse 10, 11, you all know that because it's so well known that we have sung that song. But look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You know, when a contrite heart is one who a heart is full of guilt, sin, guiltiness, and you know, you're full of regret, alright? The sacrifice of God are the broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Look at verse 19 now. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Now the last part here speaks of one thing. When we talk about here, he was talking about how the God should bless Jerusalem, build it up and so on, and then people will be happy to give you the burnt offering and so on, right? But the burnt offering is not about bullocks for us. You see the word here in the last part, verse 19? Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullock upon thy altar. You know, the biggest animal that you can offer is a bullock. Other than a sheep and a goat, or turtle dove, whatever. But the bullock is the biggest burnt offering that you can give to the Lord in those days. So now here, David, I'm thinking here that to us as Christians, when we approaching the Lord, when we approach the Lord and we say we love Him, and we make sacrifices to the Lord, what is that sacrifice? You see, when we talk about sacrifices, God is not looking about your sacrifices, or I give an offering to this poor, and I give offering to the Lord for this. I spend my time with the Lord, you know, doing something for Him. You know, when you talk about sacrifice, it's not about this thing and that thing. It's about yourself. Giving of yourself to Him. Not about what you can offer with your hands. And what is the biggest burnt offering? Biggest burnt offering means to sacrifice. Remember that Paul said, you know, we should offer our body as a living sacrifice. Got it right? We should offer our self, our physical whole being as a living sacrifice. That is an offering. That's a burnt offering. To be burnt up. Creating me a new heart, O Lord. A clean heart. That the whole body should be burnt up. You know what the burnt offering is? To burn up thought, as a sixth man is able to know, Lord, you offer up your sin to be burnt up. So that's the biggest that you can have. See, with burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. Because in verse 19, that thou shalt then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness. Because if you are surrendering your life, as King David wrote in those three verses above, in this song, and you give your life to Him, really, your relationship between God and you is such a way, therefore, you are actually living that righteousness of God's life in you. And in that is to say, you can then offer a bullock upon your altar. That means all that you can give to Him. Yourself. Back to verse 6 now. I want to take this verse here. Thou desireth truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts shall make me to know wisdom. You know, it is true that God desires truth in the inward part. Unless we desire that God desired, to open up to God's desire to look into our heart, to search it out. Remember the song we sing, search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Are we really opening our heart for God to search it, to really look into it? Like King David opened up his heart to the Lord. But many times, I guess, Christians are carnal in one way or another. We always think that our life is private. We don't want anybody to intrude into it. Is your life a personal? Is your life a personal property that nobody can, you know, look into you? I remember, in the beginning of my ministry, back in the 70s, you know, when we gathered together, seven of us, coming together to study the Word and to learn, share. And then a year or two later, we have a few more added. And then I said, okay, let us get to know each other more. I know your name, yes. I know you tell me you live in such and such a place. Okay, but then let's put it down on paper, you know. I hand out name, strips of paper, put down, asking them for the name, for the address where they live, and for their occupation, at least to know what they work as. And you know, when the paper came back, okay, what I have? I have the name. I already know that, right? I already know your name, correct? And you put your address where you live, okay. At least I know where you live, okay? Whether it's north or south or wherever. Occupation, many of them refuse to put it. And I can understand why. What is it that people don't put down their occupation? If you are a nurse, put down your nurse. If you are a technician, put down your name of technician. Oh, what is it so secret that I couldn't understand back in those days, the people, even today? People don't want others to know what they work as if they're some kind of a secret MI6 or kind of a CIA or FBI or whatever. What is going on? Top secret. You don't need to know my work. But yet, you know what? Among your own personal family, among your blood father, mother, brother, sister, they know what you work as. But among the spiritual brother and sister in Christ, you don't want them to know. And you can ask the Lord, search me, O Lord. I'm a member of the family of God. I'm a member of the body of Christ. But yet, they hide some simple thing as your work occupation from the rest of brother and sister. You see, this is what think of it. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Why am I hiding it? You know, the people just simply want to know your name, your address, and your occupation. I didn't say your salary. You know what I'm saying? It's not like when you are asked for an interview. You know, when you get interviewed by some interviewer for some kind of survey, they want to know your salary, but not of course, they just put the range. Below 1,000? Below 1,500? Below 2,000? You know, they ask you to give the range of what, wherever you are. That's about it. Kind of strange. You know, if you have a job, you make big money, and you don't want people to know. Or maybe you are, and your occupation may be someone who is doing illegal business. So, yeah, you know people know then. Then you better get right with God because something is illegal here. Huh? Like those back in those days when the people are selling pirated CD. Maybe. You know, how we open up. You see, I'm talking about here this mind issue because with the mind come the the meditation. And with meditation comes your motive. As a Christian, of course. As a child of God. Is our life off limit to people? Is our life off limit to people? To a brother and a sister. It's scary when we don't even know you, or do you hide something as a, or let it become a personal property. They don't want anybody to trespass on you. You see, very secretive. I think something is very wrong. You cannot blame it on the society that create us like that. Where is the Goto Royong? You know what Goto Royong is? The neighborliness, the kampong spirit that we used to have back 50, 60 years ago. You know, that means to say you live in those days where you... Singapore is not like this, developed. But we live like we're in the third world then, yes. But you see, people care for each other more than today. You see, in the neighborhood that we live in, this apartment, everybody closed the door. Huh? Nobody wants to talk. Go to the elevator, look at me, I look at you, just knock the head. Hardly say any word. Hardly being friendly. I notice it because whenever I go to the elevator, I know somebody live there, I say, hello, how are you? They don't ask me anymore. And they are just said, I acknowledge your greeting, but don't say anything. Because I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be your neighbor. I don't want to get too close with you. Yeah. And this is the spirit of a Christian. Something is very wrong. Especially towards one another. If you are towards a brother or sister, how would you be in your relationship to God? Like I said, this, and you know the person, how did he laugh at us, trying to undermine my ministry? And wrote me an email and says, God told me not to talk to you. I just can't take it. I just can't fathom, what is this? And I told him, I said, what kind of God do you have? I don't think we have the same God. How could a father tell a son not to talk to the other son? Huh? Would I tell Zoe not to, because they have little differences, I have a difference with Zoe, I would tell Zoe, don't talk to Zoe. So would I say that to him? If I do that, something is wrong here in the mind. There's no wisdom. What's inside? What do you think is inside here? What do you think is inside there? Wow. And he can even use the name of God. God told me not to talk to you. Instead of writing, he said, I don't talk to you. That I understand. But God told me not to talk to you. You see, if you are a young Christian, you're just a person who just came to know Christ 1 or 2 years, 3 or 5 years. I understand, you're growing. But that person has been in the truth under my ministry for 10, 20, 30 years. Something is very wrong. That's in a way. Listen over this book. It's a treasure trove. Right? This is a book, a light, a lamp, that lit up the pathway for your journey to eternal life. A journey to walk in righteousness before the Lord. Not that you don't make mistakes, you do, like King David, he still make mistakes here and there, but he realized how much more, he get to know God more, and about the deep in the mind of things that is up here. When you talk about the mind, we talk about the heart, because that's where it's deep in. Because you don't think with the brain, you think with your heart, you think with your spirit, your mind. Is God a reality? Are you real in your relationship with God? Is always your life off limit? Huh? You know, when I travel, when I travel overseas, back in the early days, I don't have a credit card. So what do? I buy traveler's check. You remember traveler's check? Yeah. I don't think they use it today. So, you know, when I come to a situation where if I caught into some problem and I run out of cash and maybe even the traveler's check, what do? You know, the brother who is with me will help me. Yep. But there are some that I have known to walk with me. I was thinking, even the brother here, will even abandon me. You know, when you know a person long enough, by their, not just by their action, but by what the word that comes up from the mouth, you realize that that person is all for himself. He will abandon you in time of danger and crisis. Just leave you to yourself. Stand for yourself. And he will just, because of his ability, you will just get out of the situation. See what Paul, what King David said in one place of Psalms. 139. Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. That we already mentioned, but just let's go and read. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Try me means what? Test me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Do you understand? Search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Look if there, see if there's any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. It's about life. Everlasting life, eternal life means true life. And Paul, David is opening up to the Lord. So, when we say search me, we sing the song, search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Do we really mean it? The thing is, do we really mean when we sing that song? Do we mean it? David, we are Bible believers, we take the Bible, we sing the song, we read the Bible and all this, but when we read it, do we really, okay, let's ponder and think, okay, David said this, and he meant it, right? He wrote this. Let's say, for example, you were the one who wrote it, maybe. Let's say this. Let's say one day you just sit down at home, read the Bible, you meditate, you take your diary or whatever, piece of paper, and then you meditate upon the Lord, and let's say you really been touched by the Word of God, you know yourself, like David, and then you write the Word. Search me, O Lord. I open my heart to you, Father. I'm opening up to you. Look at me. This is what David was doing. He opened up himself to the Lord to be examined, for God to come in into his home, in his heart. I'm talking about home, huh? Look into his home. Look into every corner of his heart. Whether there's any hidden part somewhere, secret door, secret closet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe up here, there is some money stashed up behind here, for all we know, right? So, David said, open up to you, Father. God, open up to you, search me. Look into every places in my heart. See if there be, go into my inner part, look into all those hidden areas. And know my heart today. That is what King David. He's not afraid for God to examine his thoughts, his mind. Your thoughts and your mind. Every day you go about your work, your life, Do you ever let the Lord really examine it? Do you sit down at home every so often, like perhaps King David? Every few hours, the Lord examine me. You know, his meditation with the Lord was real. Look at me, Lord. Look at me. Examine me. It's not like, you know, one who goes to do a penance, go to a mass, or go to the confession box once a month. You know, sometimes I want a kind of sort of strange kind of Christian dogma and tradition that Catholicism have. You know, what is portrayed on the in the movies or in the video or in a book, you know, write up story and all this thing, and then you have a priest that come up to a man or a woman who has been in his church for so many years, and you ask, "Oh, brother, I have not seen you. When was your last confession? Have you heard that? And when was your last confession?" Wow. You know, it could be months and years. And when was our last confession? You see, that's tradition. That's not the way to get to the Lord. So when do you last confess your sin? He's kind of asking the person, when did you last confess your sin? When did you last repent? Uh-huh. You see, when I walk with the Lord, the Word of God that I learn, you know, will resound and just trumpet out in my mind ever so often. Huh? You go up there and do your work, or on the train or bus, where you're going, you know, you have a meditation of the Lord. And if there's anything on the way that you do, you're always being cautioned because of the Word. And it should be real. And if there be anything that you've done wrong, then they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't mean it." Not say that you wait until confession time. Or not that you wait until at night before you go to sleep, you say, "Lord, forgive me for what I've done this afternoon, 10 hours ago." Well, then you should know. Then you get right. That's why when God search up the inner heart, like King David, open up. You know, it's every moment of the day that your walk with God becomes so real. That God is always examining you. That you always have no fear. So he's not saying, it's a closed door, off limit. Of course, you can say, "Well, my life is not off limit to the Lord." You're okay. But what about the body of Christ? Isn't it? Because, you know, I know that it's very true that in many of believers' life, somewhere in the deep recesses out of our heart, there are hidden secrets. Well, I had it years ago. That's why God dealt with me. I almost died if I don't give it up. If I don't get that thing out, because I try to hide it, not that God doesn't know about it, I put it deeper into the recess of my heart, and until God have to deal with me. You see, what I believe, what God, oh, God is love. Because if he loves you, he chastises you. That's what a father does. Because if he loves a child, he got the children, he must chastise them. Otherwise you are busted. Oh, there were times, many times, I keep hiding from the Lord. When I pray and I confess my sin, I will not confess that one. You know. And the stubborn I get, the Lord will deal with me. Because if I'm His child, He will chastise me. You understand? As Christians, are we fidgety? So here we have this COVID virus. I mean, this COVID-19 thing going on, this pandemic. Now, some people might disagree with me, that's all right. I already told you my belief about this COVID-19. You might not agree with me, that's okay. Because I don't go by the wisdom of men. Let me tell you something what happened. A few days ago, I don't know, happened to be somebody sent me a WhatsApp text and I look upon it. You know, it's the news. And then there was another news I look at. Huh, interesting. Here the scientist said, scientists. The headline was scientists. They said that the COVID or the virus, the coronavirus, has mutated. And is getting very dangerous. On the very same day, in the afternoon, happened to see another news. These are not scientists too, but they are not scientists as scientists. Because I don't always believe in science. I don't trust the scientists. Because they are always talking about money. What do you think the scientists, or we call them the astronauts, the cosmonauts? Why? Why do they want to go out there to look into Mars, the moon, looking for planet, they might looking for water, bacteria to show that there is life? Because you see, this scientist has a lot of great fun. They got money coming into them. They are paid to explore. So they have to say, yes, we think that there is life up there. So more money comes in to sponsor them. That's the kind of scientists you have. So, the scientists say about coronavirus, oh, it's a mutating, it's getting very dangerous. My goodness, you know, it scared a whole lot of people. For me, I looked at it, I said, huh, really? And then the afternoon there was another one. But these are not scientists as scientists are. These are virologists. They are the ones who study virus. And you know what they say? You know what they concluded after the study of coronavirus? They say this. The virus is not as... I mean, the word they use is, the virus does not cause a person to be sicker than a common flu. Practically. People disagree with me. Let's say this. WHO, because the World Health Organization for the whole world, some people, other countries don't bother about that. So who is that? You know, WHO is trying to be a World Health Organization. World Health Organization to try to sort of prevent spread of disease. Yeah, I know that. But they seem to be the one to give up, oh, this is what we should do. You know, wash your hands, sanitize your hands, this. So, nations that are under World Health Organization would do it. But some don't believe about it. But America, who cares? So there was all this noise about, well, you see what happened lately? Oh, there's so many infected, so many thousands infected. Oh, the virus is going to stay long on this earth. Yeah, I know you stay long on this earth. That common flu has always been around, right? Did it disappear? No. The coronavirus is just another one of those flu. It's not going to disappear. It's only how a country like Singapore is trying to prevent the spread. Wonderful, good. You see, but the country they cannot be born. America, Mexico, India, until they find, oh, they got more. And you know, flus are very, it's always something that will attack. I mean, everyone. From a child way up to the old one. But people who really get it are the ones who has underlying diseases. And the one, when you get it, you're going to go. You see. I always had flu, I told you. Back in the days when I was working in the 70s, 80s, I get flu almost every year, once or twice. Fever goes up and all that. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I get it, my brother and sister might get it, but sometimes they don't. So, well, you know, this has scared a lot of people. The coronavirus is not going away. Right? It will tear on very slowly, but it's not going away. As long as here in Singapore open up slowly, yeah, we may perhaps by the September, we might go allow big gathering. If not, then at the end of the year. But the virus will still be around. But you know why? That this virus, and one said it's dangerous. Yeah, I know it's dangerous. And what's dangerous? Because it is not a natural virus. People think it is a natural virus. Why is it? Oh, now everybody is kind of quiet. I already proved to you that mutation cannot mutate like this. I'm using the Bible. I'm not using what science says. From temperate to the tropical to the equatorial to the desert heat to the cold in tundra in Greenland, how is it possible? See? So now with the mind that we have about this, oh, everybody's so scared. You know? That's why in my heart, I don't know, I have mixed feeling about fellowship. Why people don't want to go and get it together? You know, we open up to 5 visitors in the home. And we should try to gather together and this in the home. Huh? Right. But no. I just want my family or myself alone at home. You know, some brother and sister who are alone, they wanted to join, but to come together, at least, you know, for the few to have real fellowship. And that's why I desire that you open up. But if you're fearful, then when the government open up to 50, then you still be fearful. When your government open up, everybody can go now to the church to fellowship. You still will be fearful. That's what we're talking about. What's the mind here? Do we have the mind of Christ? Do we have the mind of Christ? To really think about how we really, I mean, our deep meditation, our meditation in the Word, what it means to us. Because, after all, you know, there are brothers out there in America, a brother, David Cookman, Justin Fishbone, Sister Brie out there, Sister Greta out in Norway, and several others here and there. They're all by themselves. Even Sister Isabel in Canada. They don't have anybody to fellowship. Alone by them, they desire fellowship. And you know, here, even with all this condition granted us, we still are not wanting to open up together. If you say, I'm afraid, They meditate upon the Word of God. Why? That's the reason why sometimes we talk about encouragement to move forward in the faith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of our wisdom. And that's what it is, wisdom. Wisdom in what? In the things of the world? That's why I don't rely upon all this so-called news up there. Science have been telling people that there might be life out there in space, right? There might be life up there. My Bible tells me this. If I cannot trust my Bible, then something is wrong. The Bible said, the earth God has given to man to inhabit it, right? The rest of it is for God's glory. Huh? You know, the economize it, they fantasize. Like in the movie of the Star Wars. Well, there are aliens of all kinds up there. Interesting, huh? Who was the person who wrote this Star Wars movie? Lucas or what? Huh? Yeah, you got all the imagination. Now, yeah, that's all right for imagination. There are all kinds of creatures with how many eyes and how many hands and short one, tall one, hairy one. The one that's like a caterpillar, like a worm. There's life up there. Even when I remember, when I was in hospital working, there are those who are not Christian asking me, you don't believe that there might be life up there, sister? Are you so sure? You know, Santiago had discovered something like water up there. Yeah, even one lately, I've been reading on those magazines, they say, they found that they do what looks like bacteria. There's bacteria, there's some kind of germ life, or what it might be is life. I was wondering, bacteria in the moon? Oh yeah, I guess the only way the bacteria can be on the moon must be brought up there by the astronauts. Because the spacecraft, right? What do you expect? And they were all died out there anyway. The waters? Yeah, they said they found water in Mars. What kind of water is there? Are there really water? SH2 or what? So you see, I don't base it on science. People say science are facts. Science are not always facts. Science is a whole full of theory. You understand what I'm saying? I base it on my Bible. And I'm going to, as I said this before, I live my life governed by the Word of God. Governed by the Spirit, leads me and live a full abundant life in the fear of the Lord, enjoying His presence, not being hindered by all these fears of the virus and whatever else it is coming. Huh? There's going to be a big recession coming out in America, surely. And you know what America have done? Recently, what, 3 days ago in the news, you read about it? They bought all those drugs. Huh? Remdesivir? What do you pronounce that? Remdesivir. All that drug, they bought all of it. EU are making a whole lot of noise. But in Asia, who make noise? Do the Chinese make noise? Do the Indian make noise? What's America doing? What's America doing? Buying all that for themselves? And what about all this Black Lives Matter? And now it's going to create a lot of civil unrest. They're tearing out things that must not be tearing out some of those things. They're protesting, they're shooting, and all these things. A white woman take a gun and aim it at the black couple. There was recently too. People are already having this fear. They are protecting themselves. Well, you know, let me say this. What is the skin color of Jesus Christ? Is it white? Is it brown? Is it yellow? Is it red? Is it black? Someone saw, you know, in the, of all those past centuries, different race of people, they tried to make icon. Whether it's a painting, or whether it's a sculpture, they try to paint Jesus Christ of their own race. They had the black Jesus. Right? the white Jesus. See, race is not something that came by chance. God knows it would happen. If sin did not enter into the world, there will be only one color. Because after all, the earth will not change. There will be no four seasons the way we have it today. Hot and cold and desert and all this, it will not exist. And the color of your skin would not change. Because genetically, it is of the earth. That's why it's called Adam. It's of the earth color. So what is the earth color? In the Middle East, or in the place where Jesus, where mankind was formed, it's not white, it's not yellow, it's not brown, it's not black, it's not red either. It is a certain color that is fixed. But you see, because of sin, people migrate, the earth has tilted, there's all these forces, and the weather changes. The earth underwent a tremendous change, because after the flood, the earth began to move, that, you know, breaks up into seven continents, and everything changed. And now we have this race, because you are what you eat. Huh? So, let our mind be focused on the Word of God. And don't let all kinds of fear, you know, come to your life. Open your door to the Lord to examine. Don't make your life a closed door and off limit to everybody who are your family of God. It doesn't mean that, oh, okay, I go to your house and sleep in your house. It doesn't mean that. Open up to one another as real brothers and sisters, caring for one another, nothing hidden. Your job, I know what you work as. I don't want to know your salary, of course. I don't think Zoe knows about how much Zod gets. Zod doesn't know how much Zoe gets, of course. This is none of the business. Only what we do a work, you know my work as. That's fine. Huh? Because the more that we close our mind, we're shutting it out. And the more that we shut our mind, we will allow funny spirit to come in. Strange spirit to come in. And I happen to chance upon a website where this Christian group says that, well, not really Christian, I believe it's some kind of a Messianic Jew kind of a organization or something. They believe that Jesus Christ was born of the sperm of Joseph and the egg of Mary. Not just those who believe that Mary egg was involved. Because why the Bible said that Joseph was his father? So they say biologically Joseph was his father. You see how people arrive at that? So when your mind is closed up with not wisdom of God, don't let the Lord examine, open up, let the Lord guide. Yes, right. Overcome. And let the Spirit of the Lord lead you. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy holy word. Father, take the word further again, Lord, and teach us. Truly, like King David said, open up. Let search me, O Lord, open our hearts that you may look into it, into the inward parts. If there be any hidden parts, O Lord, go right in there, Father, and bring it out and show it to us. Know that you may guide us into the way everlasting. Truly, as you search us up. We thank you, Father. Bless everyone, Lord, in this fellowship. And all out there who are learning. For we are living our Father. It's an hour time and a period of time that we certainly need to overcome and walk with you the way we should. So, Father, Lord, bless the rest of the day now. We ask this, Father, in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.